And then you know what? Let's say you have it all. Let's say you got the marriage, the sex is great, the loyalty's there, the kids are great, you love them enough, you can see past how ugly they are, everything's good. Where do you live? Where do you live? Where do you live? Think about it. The world we live in today is very, very different. We know more than anyone, as Lebanese people, we live in multiple places. That's what we do. And we know something that not a lot of other people know. Living in more than one place basically means you have something called perspective. You can only get it when you live in more than one place. I'm going to give you an example. A few weeks ago, when I was in Los Angeles, I drove down to San Diego to see my little cousin, about 10 years old. He's playing soccer, football. I went to see his game. I'm excited. So I walk in. I'm like, hey, what's the score? And the coach jumps out. He's like, excuse me, sir, we don't keep score here. Over here, we have fun. I was like, I'm so sorry. Which team is having more fun than the other team? That's what I'm trying to find out. He got angry. He's like, sir, first of all, I don't appreciate you coming into our own little personal space here and making a mockery out of something we take very seriously. I was like, okay, I thought you were joking. I'm like, why don't you keep score? He's like, because keeping score can put undue pressure on the young child, which could result in post-traumatic stress disorder. I was like, sir, let me tell you a story about my childhood. I was having hernia surgery once in a hospital in Lebanon, and I awoke from the surgery because a plane dropped a bomb outside of the hospital and the windows exploded. Do you know what I had as a result? He's like, no, what? Dessert, sir. We had dessert, chocolate pudding. And I was eating it. I couldn't even eat it. My father, stop eating. You're getting heavy. We might have to run. I had to eat it. When I was 14 years old, in my school, a man walked in at 8 in the morning while we were lining up to go into school with a shotgun, a jiffet, walked in looking for the principal because the principal the day before had slapped his daughter. So he walks in and he screamed while we're lining up at 8 in the morning, where is Talal? Where is he? Did we run? Did we? No, he's over there. He's over there. Over. No, no, over. Here, I'll take you. Come. Over. He walks up to Talal, puts the gun to his head, makes him kneel, looks and says, if you ever hit my daughter again, I will kill you. Do you understand? So I was like, yes. Okay. And he walked away because they had an agreement. I even knew the guy. He's walking, he's like, say hi to your father, and kept going. He's a gentleman, a gentleman. And then I told my dad, I'm like, dad, this guy, he did this. He's like, why did he bring a gun? I'm like, because he hit his daughter. And he's like, well, you should never hit a girl. And that was it. We proceeded as normal. We didn't have a psychologist come to the school. How did it make you feel? Do you want a safe space? Do you want a space where you can exist? Say, this is the Middle East. There is no safe space anywhere. It's no such thing. We didn't close the schools. Life just went on. That's when I realized at that moment, if I have kids, I can't raise them in America. I have to raise them here in the Middle East. So they can be warriors. Do you have any idea how ridiculous what I just said was? Let me rephrase. I just said, if I have a kid, I want to bring him or her up under the threat of death so they could be better at life. And you're like, woo! You guys are excited. This is the thing, and people wonder why Arabs are crazy. Look at us. We're excited. Even women were clapping. I will shoot my kid every day to teach him